Robinhood Radio presents Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willems. Michelle is a longtime journalist and herself is a published playwright of several theatrical works. She's a frequent contributor to the Huffington Post, Daily Beast, and the Atlantic websites.
Well, I am back on the beat here on the East Coast. I managed to see two shows in my first week. Were there similarities with them? Well, both were written by important playwrights of their times, one named Shakespeare, the other named Lynn Nottage. She's had a record 3 productions up in the last few months. Another similarity is the combination of blacks and Jews. Now, stay with me here. Let's start in Brooklyn at one of my favorite companies, the Theater for a New Audience, which is presenting The Merchant of Venice. Now, that one is making news for one key reason. It features the great bard interpreter, John Douglas Thompson. And why is this notable? Well, he is a black man playing one of drama's most famous Jews named Shylock. Thompson is such a powerful presence, and he's the draw here, that somehow this all works. No dialogue is altered, but some carries perhaps more resonance now, as when Shylock proclaims, "You have among you many a purchased slave, which, like your asses and your mules, you use in abject and in slavish parts." The production is 2 hours and 40 minutes, and don't go for the lavish costumes and scenery. This one is done plain clothes, the actors in sneakers and contemporary attire. The set is basically bare, a palace in brutalist style, with a few props brought on stage for the famous Quality of Mercy courtroom scene. By the way, the Portia who speaks those words, Isabel Areza, is first rate. Remember that name. Merchant of Venice is up several more weeks. And then there was the other show I caught, and this one at Lincoln Center, Intimate Apparel. That's at the Mitzi Newhouse there. Only one more week, unless it is extended. And this is the operatic adaptation of Lynn Nottage's play. That's a daunting concept, and while I am not an opera fan, it works. At its center is a seamstress named Esther who makes clothes for two women. Those relationships are more than professional, but nevertheless determined by class and race. Her third professional friendship is with one Mr. Marx, an Orthodox Jew who sells fabric on Orchard Street. Each act ends with a large sepia-toned photograph of a woman described as unidentified Negro around 1905, reminders of a nearly lost and unrecognized society. In Intimate Apparel, Nottage and composer Ricky Ann Gordon challenge Esther when she says, "My life ain't worthy of words." Well, Nottage's words have become pretty powerful lyrics. "Love is a music that I never heard. Don't let a man get a piece of your heart without getting a piece of his." It's a powerful production, though I was disappointed to see not one person of color in the audience. Well, this is Lincoln Center. Anyway, by the way, others are also recontextualizing Shakespeare before we get off of him. First, there is Spider-Woman Theater's Misdemeanor Dream, inspired by A Midsummer Night's Dream. It's scheduled to run at La Mama this month. This one is notable for a cast that includes 20 indigenous performers from First Nations. And tonight, live from the Florence Gould Hall in New York City, is A Tempest, 7:30 p.m. Now, that one is in person and live streamed. In this adaptation, first done in the 60s, the characters and plot are largely unchanged. Prospero conjures a violent storm to drive his enemy's ship ashore, blah, blah, blah. A Tempest confronts complex intersections of race, power, and anti-imperialism. Huh. If that doesn't sound of the moment, I don't know what is. And I would expect this one may remain available for streaming if you miss it tonight. So how have other theaters and companies been adapting during these times? Well, one well-known venue near Yale is making big changes. Beginning in the fall of 2023, okay, that's a ways off, productions from the Long Wharf Theater will be presented throughout Greater New Haven, no longer anchoring performances in its current space. It's been there a long time. Long Wharf Theater will be able to serve its artists in ways that are tailor-made for each project, so we'll stay tuned on that. Meanwhile, off-Broadway, things are up and running. At 59 East 59th, for example, there is one called Barocco, Borococo, I think, through this week. This one makes fun of the aristocratic 18th century. Running time is just an hour and 5 minutes. Now, I will be seeing four off-Broadway shows this coming week from some of the city's most established companies: The Vineyard, New York Theater Workshop, Manhattan Theater Club, and The Public. And I will report on all next week. As for what to look forward to on Broadway, April is chock full of big names: Billy Crystal, Matthew Broderick and Sarah Jessica Parker, Mary Louise Parker, Daniel Craig, and more. And much attention is focusing on Funny Girl, its first revival on Broadway. The famous show had the great fortune to star an unknown Barbara Streisand, and the bad fortune opened in the same season as Hello, Dolly. So it went empty-handed at the Tony Awards, despite 8 nominations, including for Streisand, obviously, and a score featuring eventual standards like People. In the years since, so many Golden Age musicals have been rethought, rewritten, revamped, and revived, but why not Funny Girl? Well, likely because Streisand is not an easy act to follow, even decades later. Well, Beanie Feldstein is going to try. The film and theater actor James McAvoy is coming to town. His Cyrano de Bergerac, whose West End run ended in February of 2020, was meant to come to Brooklyn Academy of Music that spring. Well, long delayed, but you know what? It will arrive there at last on April 5th for a 7-week run after more than a month in London. The BAM engagement will be McAvoy's stage debut. Out in your hood, folks are being asked to get involved. Yes, you can join the Tony Award-winning festival team this summer in Williamstown. A variety of paid seasonal positions are currently available for theater professionals at any level of experience. Many departments are looking for help: audience engagement, business, costumes, lighting, marketing and press, and so on. Anyway, a few weeks ago, I talked about all the Broadway names you can see in the limited TV series The Gilded Age. Well, now the marvelous Mrs. Maisel, which is just starting its 4th season, which I love, features an impressive amount of Broadway talent also, including returning cast members Tony Shalhoub, Stephanie Sue, and Jane Lynch, and new guest stars like Gideon Glick, Kelly Bishop, and more. And the 4th episode deals partly with the repercussions of a theater critic's damning review. Uh-oh. Finally, a moment of personal memory, if I may. I have mentioned Funny Girl, Hello, Dolly, and Shakespeare. I think I've mentioned before that my first trip to New York as a young girl was a year that Streisand and Carol Channing were ruling Broadway. And I also saw a memorable production of Hamlet starring Richard Burton and Hume Cronyn. What I most remember about it is that they were wearing regular current-day clothes on a pretty bare stage. Huh. So as things change, Jill, they often stay the same.
Which is sometimes a good thing.
Yeah.
Now, quick question. I heard something, and I'm looking to you. I'm looking to you to debunk it.
Okay.
How... This is my drum that I beat a lot, I suppose, the mask drum. I had heard that somebody went to the theater, you know, pretty expensive ticket, and the ushers were pretty maniacal about people keeping their masks on.
Yeah, they're going up and down the aisles all the way through the show. Well, right before the curtain goes up, mask up, mask up, mask up. You know, that could change. That could change in a week. The restaurants, they've just changed the restaurant rules here. The restaurants are different. Theater, not yet, but I wouldn't be surprised. Right now, they're very strict. Right now, I've got instructions.
Okay, so right now it's mask up.
Oh, yeah. I've got instructions on all 4 of the plays I'm seeing this week. Vaccination has to be shown and masking. We'll see how long, you know, that... That's up. That's the one to watch, I would say, the theater district. Though I think I said last week, I've talked to people who said they hope that doesn't happen.
I understand, but there's also a point where you don't want to be the, you know, the last one standing when everybody else has. The other issue, especially as far as the theater district, the out of town aspect. You know, we've got people coming into town now who, some of whom have not worn masks for months. And if you're splashing out on a good ticket, if you're splashing out a good amount on a ticket, I don't know how. I don't know how long it's going to last.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that. I mean, most of the people that I know that are coming to town to see theater, they would never go without a mask. Those are just people that I know. I'm not sure about people that, you know, they're coming from places maybe that are more cautious, maybe they're a little older, whatever.
But, right, you are of a very specific...
A mindset, you know, where they're just not ready to do it. And I think Broadway, that'll be a really, and off-Broadway too, that's going to be a big decision because they're going to be risking, you know, are we going to lose the people that are coming? I'm going to see Music Man with the Tony voter. Not this week, but next week. And I'm very curious about that. A, how it's doing, you know, if it's still full houses, even though it got some very mixed reviews. And a lot of those people, including several that I know, are coming from out of town and have tickets for it. So I'm kind of most interested in how the Music Man is going to look and feel and all that.
Funny, that was going to be my next question. Are you hearing anything about it or are you just waiting to see?
I'm hearing the people are sort of disappointed in it.
And is there a particular thing that is disappointing to them?
Yeah, it depends who you talk to. Some say it's just kind of overdone. He's miscast. I hate to say that. Hugh Jackman is kind of not playing him as enough of a con man. You know, he's too worried about being liked. We all like, and that's a character where you got to be willing not to like him. This is a real con man. You know, I've heard people say this would be a time to do Music Man a new way. Slightly, you know, not new words or anything, maybe how it's cast, maybe how he's portrayed, and that they're doing it very, very traditionally. So that's a little bit of what I've heard, but nobody said it was awful that I've talked to, except for the New York Times critic.
That was noticeable. It was so noticeable that it made me wonder, you know, it's just, it's like, really?
I agree. That was really harsh. That was as harsh as one since Company.
Right.
Which, by the way, is still up and going. By the way, people who have Company, I'm going to tell this to people who have tickets for next week for Company. Patti LuPone just came down with COVID, and she's out for 10 performances. They got to let people know about that. There are folks who will not go without Patti LuPone in that show. And if the theater is smart, they'll let ticket buyers know. They have done that in the past. And they certainly do that with Hugh Jackman. They've already got it on the website, which performances he will not be in. But I would do that for Patti LuPone if I were. Otherwise, you're going to have some very disappointed theater goers.
Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willens, produced in the studios of Robin Hood Radio, robinhoodradio.com.